Well, I have the privilege of talking about my son today. As he has finished the discipleship time together with Josh Lindsay. And that in and of itself is a story, and I'm going to actually build on that. But if you will turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, it is kind of a follow-through with Matthew 28, of course, 19 and 20, where we have the Great Commission. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world, make disciples, make learners of Christ. Mathetes is the word that he uses, which makes reference to the fact that we're stirring a desire to know more about Christ. We're not making disciples of ourselves. We're making disciples that will follow Christ, that their desire would be to imitate him. In this passage, what we have is that this mandate really is given to the church. Of course, Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, those are what we call pastoral epistles. That is to say that they were written to pastors and thus to actually delegate how the church would operate, if we can put it that way. As he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that the church is actually a pillar and support of the truth. So God has ordained. Just remember, the church is not an institution of man. Christ said, I will build my church. It is that which Christ had initiated right at the very start with his own disciples. And I think it is interesting that there in Matthew, he mentions the word church 2 times before church ever existed. It won't be till Pentecost that church will begin to exist and the Spirit of God will begin to lead and direct outside of man casting lots and into the realm of them coming together and actually unified together in prayer. And then God begins to use them to direct the body of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he writes this in verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I don't know if you're hearing, but we're passing the baton. And ultimately, as Paul will end this wonderful epistle, he'll say to Timothy, I have finished the course. Now he turns to Timothy and says, finish yours. And you realize that God has called us to pass the baton. God has called us to make disciples. He has called us to teach faithful men for the purpose of them, in turn, teaching others also. So it's not stagnant. In fact, you're really winning souls by virtue of multiplication rather than addition. And so God is using this in our lives. I've oftentimes thought about the fact that in America, and down through the years, of course, man has a tendency to literally institutionalize everything. And one of the things that he's institutionalized is discipleship. I personally believe it was never meant to be. However, we live in a world in which even in Jesus' time, there was the great temple that was built in the porticos of Solomon, in which a lot of the learning took place. But it is interesting that Jesus makes a detour around that, and he goes up to some villages up around Galilee and begins to talk to fishermen and tax collectors, rather than we would say those that were in the ivory towers. What we have in America today, and has been true all through the years when you consider schools like Princeton and Yale, which all began as seminaries, what you begin to see is that, as Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge makes arrogant and love edifies. I think I realized that more than any other time when I was in California, and in particular, you know, the seminaries that are out there, and there are quite a few. One old seminary that was out there, and I paid a number of visits there going to the library, was Fuller Theological Seminary. And Fuller Theological Seminary at that particular point was actually going extremely liberal. And And I've watched schools down through the years. I've actually lived long enough to watch them go into that depth of falling away from the truth, actually denying the inerrancy of Scripture, such as this. And one of the problems is that when you begin to institutionalize things, then faith begins to be an academic thing, so that people that are being trained are not devoted to the body as Scripture tells them that they should be, nor do they really have their affirmation from a body, which Scripture says needs to happen. But they get a diploma. And with the diploma, they say, you know, I'm ready to minister. And so you begin to crank out people that have diplomas but have no heart. And so one of my concerns right from the very start is that the church should be a place where we take seriously the mandate that God gave the church to make disciples. And it's not simply an education. I thought it was interesting as I talked to different ones, and I was with a lot of people that were Bible majors as we were going out. Of course, at that time, Master's College, I had mentioned, was LABC, Los Angeles Baptist College, and then John MacArthur took it in because it was starting to fade away. So we kind of rescued LABC at that time. But Biola University was where I went, and talked to a number of guys. Some really loved the Lord and were a real encouragement to me at that time. But, you know, some were professional students. You always get professional students in those things. You know, their parents are paying for them to go to school, so they keep changing their major because, hey, they can be a professional student. They never have to go to work. So they were always changing the major. But you meet people that, on the whole, and what was bizarre to me is Bible students, even going to the seminary there at Talbot, that there were many Bible students that actually didn't know the Bible very well. And the reason for that is that a lot of the classes do a lot of teaching through commentaries and things like this. And, of course, some of the professors want you to read their books. And so that's part of the growth as well. But what was bizarre is that I would oftentimes talk to people about a particular book, so I'm going, they don't even know what I'm talking about. I mean, you mentioned to a lot of Bible students, and you would think that they would actually know the Bible pretty well, but you talked about books like Habakkuk or Nahum, or, and you just go down the list of those that may seem a little bit more obscure to us. And you would say, so what is that about? And they would just give you a blank stare. And so our hope was at the very beginning to actually go through the Bible. That's a bizarre thought, isn't it? That we're going to actually get these men to know the Bible, because we believe that it's the Word of God. We believe that it's the authority of God. And so we've been going through the years, different ones have been through this process, and we talk about doctrine. We talk about certainly all those things as well. One of the things we want to make clear is, do you even know how to lead somebody to the Lord? And part of that process. But we actually take individuals through the whole Bible. So we want them to be able to walk through all the books. What does it say? What's the meaning of it? What's the purpose of this book? And it's a long process. I think the shortest time that somebody has gone through it has been 4 or 5 years. It's the quickest. Jeremiah, I think, 10 years, right? So it's quite a process going through. Josh, how long were you in it?
I can't even remember now.
It was like when you were this tall, right?
I think you said around 5. Michelle says 7, 5, 6, 7. No young people say.
Yeah. What I really love about this Timothy passage is one of the things that Paul is reminding Timothy about is he's reminding him that really the whole process of his discipleship didn't necessarily begin with Paul. In fact, one of the statements that he makes is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is, from childhood you have known the sacred writings that were able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And, of course, one of the passages he talks about, your mother and your grandmother. In a way, what we're wanting to convey to you as we talk about discipleship is every one of you should be discipling somebody. You should be stimulating somebody to learn more about Christ. You should be getting in the Word yourself. If you have a little one, you should be teaching them the Bible. You should be going through. So our desire is for it to be a church thing. And once again, the affirmation of those that ultimately take office, if you're in a church, the people in the church know who you are. They've seen you live life. It's not like in a school. You know, you go in there, you graduate, you're gone. But in a church, these people know who you are. So when we bring people up and we go, we want you to affirm these people, what we're asking is, if you know something that this individual shouldn't be serving, then let us know. But that's one of the advantages of the church, see. So as we've gone through the years, and Josh, I'm going to call you up too, because you're the one that discipled Josh, Jeremiah. That's Jeremiah, right? Josh. You come on up. You know, when I was discipling you, little did I know at that time that I was actually doing myself a favor. Because he would in turn disciple my son. So it's full circle. Josh, Jeremiah, come on up here. Sorry, keep calling you. He has an older brother named Josh, too. So he gets after me for that. A little bit.
You say Jessica first.
Well, yeah, I've always loved Jessica more. I know.
But, it's his girl on record.
But you guys have been, and really, you're the one that has discipled Jeremiah right from the beginning, and I really appreciate that, in the sense that you took him in like family as well. And we've all, you know, we've all regarded each other as such. Mm-hmm. But it was a long process, and how did it start off? Pretty rocky, or did it start off pretty easy?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Well, I remember...
You were 17 when you started?
17. Okay. I know I was difficult, if that's what you're asking. But
Jeremiah and I have been together since he was probably about 12 or 13. Hanging out, staying the night, helping on projects, working and serving. I mean, I think over the years, I think he must have moved 20 people we counted in 1 year. But him and I have been together since he was, he was shorter than me. I was probably 12 years old.
Yeah.
Together, serving together since he was probably 12.
Tell us a little bit about the process of going through the discipleship.
Well, you know, a part of it is just getting to want to know the Lord. So I remember, if I just go back for myself, mm-hmm. you know, with Pastor Gary, I just wanted to know what, I remember you asked me when I first got saved, what do you want God to do for you? I said, I want my name back because mm-hmm. I had ruined it.
Right.
I said, I just want to know who he is and I want to know what he has in there for me. Right. And that's just the way I always approached it. And I wanted to sit down, and the best way I liken it is I want to sit down at the dinner table and talk to my dad. Mm-hmm. Say it's been a long day, it's been a trying day. And it's like you sit down and your dad goes, so tell me about your day. Mm-hmm. And you start unloading on your dad. Your dad patiently listens. And then he goes, well, what about this? What about this? But the way it started for you and I was that you and Jeremiah were taking Uncle Greg to breakfast. Mm-hmm. And I was up early on the carport.
Right.
And you said, we need to start meeting. And we started meeting. But it was you... kind of knew where I was, mm-hmm. and you said, I want you to go through this book first. Mm-hmm. And that book, because you've been saved longer and in the Bible longer, that book applied to my life. So 1 Timothy was one of the first ones. Mm-hmm. You challenged me with Ruth because it was the first girl book, mm-hmm. and you wanted to test me. You said, let's see if he reads the girl book. And then with Jer, you know, he came and said, hey, I want you to start meeting with me. And we just started walking through books of the Bible. He already had a love for the Lord. You guys had raised him, so he had a knowledge God had given him. And he had a love for God's Word that he would just go through it and meticulously. He reminds me so much of Pastor Gary. So, like, we have a second Pastor Gary in Jeremiah. No doubt about it. I'm telling you now, spend any time with him, you'll see it. And he just loved the Word. And so we would just start walking through book by book. And then, of course, we're working. You know, both of us were in construction. And so those times that it would get busy, and you would say, just put to practice what we've learned. And we'd take a week or two break. And then we would pick back up, and we would just start walking through the Word of God. Okay, what is this book saying? What is this chapter conveying to you and I? What are we learning about who He is? What am I learning about who I am? And now how do I apply it in my life today to walk in it? And it's just been a journey with Him.
And you really have a workable knowledge, and this is what our goal is. You have a workable knowledge of all of Scripture. Mm-hmm. So that when we talk about a particular book, if just like certain thoughts and certain memories, I know what that book's about, and I know what, now it doesn't mean you know everything about it, but what it does is it begins to open up the door, and it helps you use that Scripture in all kinds of settings.
Well, and to minister to people, because we come into contact with all kinds of people in this world. And what I have found in Scripture is that you'll run into someone, and they're going through a specific something. There is a book that meets them where they are and introduces them to God and Jesus Christ, a lot like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch.
Right.
So, you know, we think about someone that felt like, as you mentioned, Nahum, does God even care? Is God even going to do anything about all the wickedness in the world? Yeah, He's coming back for Nineveh. You know, 100 years earlier, you had Jonah. But still, God's going to take care of those things. We can rest in that.
And we try to keep the discussion away from what man thinks. I mean, there are all kinds of theories out there. There are all kinds of things that man had done. And people begin to identify with Apollos, Paul, Cephas, you know, and they get into cliques, and it becomes extremely esoteric. And our desire is, let's see what Scripture says alone. Let's let it stand by itself.
Because we're all in subjection to the Word of God.
Right.
Amen.
So what was the most difficult thing having Josh being your disciple?
You know, the Lord was very gracious to me, and one of the things I appreciate, you know, about Pastor Josh is just his love for the Lord. And I think the thing, one of the things, especially going in through the youth on Wednesday night in Matthew, is in 17, of course, like you were talking about, we tend to put man on a pedestal. Of course, Peter wants to build, you know, a tabernacle or a place of worship for Moses and Elijah. And of course, in the middle of him speaking the sentence, you know, God comes out and says, no, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. It's in him alone. And so I think one of the things I appreciate, you know, and about, you know, Pastor Josh is that it is Christ alone. And, you know, especially who had just rescued you out of that. And it's him alone that, you know, placed me where I am. I can't take credit for anything that I've done. And, you know, Matthew's very clear, especially if you follow the next chapter, is one of the things that the disciples are struggling with is, well, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus in such a way turns the whole conversation and goes, others. So, you know, they're thinking, okay, well who's going to be the best here? It's always about serving others and putting them, of course, he says, you know, the last shall be first. So, I wouldn't say there was anything difficult about it. Like I said, the Lord has really blessed me with someone who loves the Lord. And, you know, that loyalty is one of my things that the Lord has given me. And I have just seen that, you know, a faithful brother that has been there. Of course, we give all honor and glory to the Lord for that. But I'm so thankful. And, you know, one of the things I kind of struggle with is because I was so late being born. Both of my siblings were up and out of the house before I grew up, but the Lord gave me you, and I'm very grateful for that.
And definitely a brother. I don't know if you've been listening, but both of them are answering questions with Scripture. Are you hearing that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want everybody doing. We don't want you answering Scripture according to what you say. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear what you say. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what God says. Mm-hmm. And when you begin to answer according to what Scripture says, you'll be amazed. Everybody get along with each other. Just say what it says. Amen. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Let's understand what God wants. Let's abide by that. And then let's live according to it. And I think one of the things, part of discipleship as well, is actually understanding the gifts that God has given. And I remember at a stage, I started talking to you about I believe God has given you the gift of evangelism.
Yeah, I didn't know what that word was.
Right, right.
Construction worker.
Right, right, right. And it's amazing. He knows Scripture. There's no doubt about it. You know more Scripture than most theologians. I'm just letting you know. But as well as the way you answer.
And oh, my goodness.
We've been talking about...
First service?
What are you saying? What are you saying you believe his gift to be?
Oh, he's definitely a teacher. Here, I'm just letting you know, I've spent enough time with him. He is you through and through. So it's definitely a spiritual gift of knowledge.
Yeah, wisdom.
I oftentimes tell
my wife, Jessica knows how I think.
Yeah.
Jeremiah thinks like me.
Right. Spitting image.
Yeah.
So we laugh in men's prayer. I go, we got the second Elliot, everybody. Because you guys talk the same, you think the same.
Well, and something I must add on to that is, much like you, not wanting to teach at all, it is purely the Lord, 100%. Because that is something I would never... Mm-hmm. on my own want to do.
Well, and this is one of the things we've talked about too.
I'd say it's gotta
if somebody wants to be up front, mm-hmm. we don't want them up front.
Well, God won't put them up front. He'll purposely put them in the back because it's what's best for them.
Right.
But what I have found over the years is those that don't want to, God goes, it's First Peter, go away from me. He goes, nope, you're going to be the, let's go.
It's Moses, it's Jeremiah, it's all through Scripture.
Send someone else.
He realized that it's, you know, you got the wrong guy.
Because it's all him.
God goes, yeah.
It's all him.
Yeah, that's why you can say that, because you realize that in me not only dwells no good thing, but I'm not even equipped to do this kind of thing.
Not at all.
And he does choose plumbers and surfers and all kinds of construction people to do those kind of works. And so
he puts in windows, which helps people see more clearly.
Right.
Knowledge.
Windows are meant to see through, not to look at.
Yes.
I remember that. So,
I'm going to give you a hug.
So anyway, after saying all that, Jeremiah has actually finished.
Yes.
And
talk to him.
And we were going through, we were walking through the Bible when we were going down to the men's thing, and I was saying, so what's Genesis about? What's Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? We were talking about the different books and what do they mean to you, and what is it that stands out in the text? And so, how far did we get so far?
Oh my goodness, I think we only got halfway through the Old Testament.
Yeah. So we're going to have to take another ride. But it's one of the things. And from what I understand, where's Justin?
Right there. Yeah.
You're almost finished. So how long have you been going through?
20 years.
Okay, so we're almost finished.
Well, and, you know, discipleship, of course, wholly is about learning, you know, more of who God is. But
right.
Also I appreciate, and I'm sure, Justin, in this case too, it is that time that we get to care for each other and to mm-hmm. share what we've been learning and what we're going through together. And it really deepens that bond, you know, mm-hmm. I think, especially since, you know, Christ is obviously talking about these are my sheep, mm-hmm. you know, we look after each other and we're all going to be in heaven together. So if you can't get along with each other here, you might want to reconsider what's
going
on.
And there's a camaraderie that builds.
Brotherhood.
In the sense that we're not competing with one another. We're actually complimenting each other. And we're rooting for each other. We're not, you know, we're not looking for the other person to fail. And so it really is a guarantee against division in the church. Because a lot of it, just the pride of man gets in there. And instead of brothers looking out for brothers, and of course, that's the way it was meant to be.
It's a brotherhood.
So, thankful for you.
Praise the Lord.
You didn't have to talk as much on this.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. You can blame Greg.
I think one of my heart's desires, too, is that, you know, you can, if you come to talk to Jeremiah, you can trust he's going to help encourage you in the Word.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things of my heart. We've got more faithful brothers coming up that you can trust. If you go and talk to him, he's going to give you what the Word says.
He's going to talk to you about what the Bible says rather than what he thinks.
Everything he's done just up here.
which I appreciate you doing that.
Sir, praise the Lord.
All right. Oh, Father, we thank you for your love for us and for Scripture that keeps us on track. What you say we want to abide by, and we find out that when we do what you tell us, how wonderful things begin. And so we just ask that even in this service today that you would help our ears to be attuned to your word, that we would abide by what you say, that our lives might be changed and transformed into your image. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.